Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, yeah. Welcome in, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. You may be wondering, why no guttural scream this morning after a Padres? Well, now you lost the series, so I'm not going to give you all I got after a series loss to the Chicago Cubs, certainly. But certainly it's a victory Monday. That's one thing. That makes me very happy in more ways than one. Padres weren't the only team that won this weekend, and we will talk about all of it today. But first, let's get loose a little bit. Welcome you guys in on what is one of our favorite days, I think, of the year. By far, it's International Beaver Day.
Thought you were going to say National Coffee Cake Day.
Yeah, I like that as well.
Nice beaver.
It's an international beaver, Polly. So maybe try it in French.
Hopefully we'll see the beavers.
Yeah, hopefully we will. Hopefully.
You didn't know I have that one.
I had no idea. Where did that gem come from?
I'm sure I was talking about Oregon State.
Probably.
Basketball or football.
I don't exactly remember what was going on.
Doesn't
something,
matter.
Something Aztecs related.
Just play it again.
We had Tim Shelton on.
Hopefully we'll see the Beavers.
Former Aztec Tim Shelton, who was coaching with
at the time
Oregon
an
State.
Assistant coach yeah. at Oregon State.
I think we had him on to talk about like Steve Fisher.
That's fantastic. I think Woodsy was out that day.
Hopefully we'll see the Beavers.
Hopefully we will see the Beavers on International Day. International Beaver Day. Good morning, everybody. Great to be here on a Monday with you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Still lamenting that pop fly I dropped yesterday. Probably will never be able to get it out of my head the rest of my life, ever. It sucked. Just an easy
fair
pop
or fell.
Fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just hit me right in the. Actually, it hit me in the hand. Somehow I went up to catch it, and it had like two hands.
Got
and
closer
my
than
hand. I got,
close. Got closer than Justin Turner did to catching the ball.
Ah! That's a guttural scream from looking like an absolute buffoon on a baseball field, man. Oh, my God. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor. Joins us as well. And I think, inadvertently, I think I've ruined Ben's day and maybe potentially his life with just a very innocuous comment that I made this morning. Now, let me set the stage. You guys, we talked a couple of weeks ago about my mother-in-law, Susie, asking if we would come over on Friday, this coming Friday, and be the roast masters for my father-in-law, Scott, who I just adore. He's the best. And we said, sure. and she's going to pay us, and we're going to go, and we have tuxedos. We're doing the whole thing. We were sending notes back to each other. We're like Sammy and Dean right now, man, truly. Like, we're sending notes back to each other. We're working out, you know, bits and stuff with one another.
Drinking scotch while we do it.
Cigarettes, the whole bit, man, right? So it's going to be at their very, very fancy home with about 100 of their closest friends for Scott's 75th birthday. So, yeah, I'm obviously a little bit nervous, but, hey, listen, man, we're basically the MCs. We just keep the thing moving. The thing that's making me a little nervous is that she sent me a list of four friends that are going to come up and roast my father-in-law. And I've talked to three out of the four, and three out of the four have said, "Hey, I don't really know what to do, and I really don't have anything to roast him about." And I went, "Oh God." One guy says, "I've known him since 1963, and I'm having trouble coming up with things to roast him about. Maybe you could give me some ideas." I'm like, "You've known him since 1963. I've known him since 2023.
So in 62 years, he's done nothing,
nothing
to
wrong.
Give you any reason to roast him over anything."
Correct.
I knew Scott was a good guy, but this is, I mean, he must be the greatest guy in the history of guys.
Yeah, is he an actual saint, like Saint Scott? So already, you know, I'm kind of spun out about the whole thing anyway, hoping these guys don't just soil themselves and it's a lame roast. But then I casually mentioned, I was playing baseball yesterday, and my mother-in-law texted me. She goes, "Can I get Ben's mom's email?" And I said, "Sure." So I texted your mom, "Get your email, please." So she sent it to me. And I sent it over. And I said, "What's it for?" And she said, "Oh, I think I'm going to invite them to the party." And I said, "Oh, great." So I casually mentioned to Ben, "Oh, my mother-in-law asked me for your mom's email." And you go, "For what?" And I said, "I think she's going to invite him to the party on Friday." And he, Paul, you were in here.
Oh, yeah.
He panicked.
Panicked.
And so what's...
I know this sounds bad because I love my parents. And I certainly, it's very nice of Susie to include them, but I'm already really nervous about this, and I would feel more nervous with my parents in the audience than a room full of mostly somewhat strangers, which is how I'm considering this. It's more your family.
Yeah,
I know a couple of the people there, but no one really, really well, and I feel like I'll be much more comfortable knowing it's more of an anonymous crowd, and I can be a little, you know, edgier, I guess.
You know that you're 50 years old. You're 50 years old, and you're still scared of your parents.
I'm not scared. What? No. I'm not scared.
Paulie, did he sound scared? He's got a little scared. All right.
What does it matter?
Yeah, it's your parents. They love you. They'll be impressed with you.
I know you're probably right.
I'm definitely right.
I think it's only my internal angst about it that would make it more difficult for me.
You're still scared of your parents.
I've never been scared of my parents. Not a day in my life. They're not scary people.
What were you...
I'm scared of myself.
What were you planning on going up there and saying?
Yeah, like now you can... Hey, I can't be edgy because my parents are... Hickory dickory dock! Scott was blanking a blank! Like, what are you going to do? Little Miss Muffet! Oh!
Hey!
Yeah, I saw Susie blanking his blank! Like, what were you going to do? Now I'm nervous because I don't know what he was planning on doing the whole time. Ow! Wipe your mouth, you hoo-ah! Like, what is happening? So he says this to me, and Paulie knows, I'm looking at him like he's an alien. I go, what were you going to do? What kind of stuff were you going to do? Now I'm sick to my stomach because I'm like, hey, this is my family. Like, he's like, oh, man, I can't tell any of my jokes now. Like,
my biggest worry is that I'm going to be too nice because that's what I tend to lean toward is nice. And you're not supposed to be nice at a roast.
No, you're not.
And I feel like... Just if I have my parents there, it's going to make me want to lean more nice than not nice.
Well, okay. Again, to the psychiatrist table we go. What are they going to say? Like, you're 50 years old. You're your own man.
Do you want your parents there?
I would love my parents there. I would be so proud. And my parents, I think, would be proud of me, too. Oh. Holy cow. Yeah, Steve says that your mom's out in the crowd. Good gracious, Ben. Is that how we raised you? Oh! Shut your filthy mouth! I am absolutely deceased right now. I can't even get my head around it. So, again, as I say, like, back to the psychiatrist couch. What do you think? Like, they know what a roast is.
Sure, they do.
They know what your job is to do, but now you feel like you'd have to pull punches if your parents are. My question is, why?
Well, I've never done this for anyone before.
I know.
So it's just a new nervous experience.
Okay. That makes more sense than, oh, God, my parents.
Yeah.
You don't look at your parents as some sort of like, oh, I actually feel a little bit more secure that they're here.
No, I guess not.
See, I think if I looked out in the crowd and I saw my dad knee slapping and laughing along with my jokes, I think it would make me feel better.
Now I feel bad because they've done nothing wrong at all.
No, they did nothing wrong.
They're the best parents you could ever imagine. But I definitely feel like I'll worry if they're okay and having a good time and, like, you know, if they're hopefully they're comfortable, and I'm going to be mostly worried about myself, I think, on Friday night.
It was very interesting to think, like, oh, man, I can't be edgy now in front of my parents. But you're a grown man. Like, you have your own life. You have your children. So you couldn't be edgy in front of your parents. You would feel weird about being edgy.
I feel weird about being edgy anywhere.
They listen to this program.
Which, right, I'm not
that's
that
what
edgy.
I was just gonna say, like, how much edgy. Worse was it going to be than what we talk about on this radio show?
Let me tell you. If this radio show is, like, B in edgy, this roast is going to be like E. It's going to be as vanilla. It's going to be a couple of glasses of milk up there. Yeah, I'm just going to make jokes about everybody. And then I'm going to let the chips fall where they may. Listen, there's a lot of people there. I don't want to piss off either. But you're going to have to do it.
Well, I think that is also part of my concern as well as yours is, will everyone take this in the spirit in which it's intended?
That's always the risk you run. But it sounds like with the guys that are actually roasting him, I don't know that they're going to say a mean thing about
the guy.
We'll
be the only ones who are saying mean things about anyone.
Correct.
And everyone just hates us at the end of the night.
I was absolutely crying, thinking about Ben going home, taking all of his notes and just, well, these are out the window. I guess I can't tell any of my, edgy racial jokes that I was going to tell. Which made me nervous because I'm like, what kind of stuff was this cat planning that he can't do it? But, oh, man, that made me laugh so hard. All right, well, I mean, they're going to get an invite. They don't have to accept.
They know. They should come and have a good time, and I should get over it. It's really what...
It's kind of what we're saying.
That's kind of what we're saying without saying it. Without saying it.
You'd think that I'd be used to being uncomfortable at this point because I spend 4 hours every morning being uncomfortable. There's really no reason why I can't spend another hour or two on a Friday being uncomfortable. So I'll just lean into it. Now, you know, Mom, your dad, come to the party. Have a good time.
Okay, good.
Why would you want to miss it? It's close.
It's real close. They live right down the street.
Sure, it's going to be nice.
Oh, it's going to be through. So, it's going to be top shelf.
You don't want to miss it, so. It was very nice of Susie to invite me.
Jake says all of your Yo Mama jokes are out the window
because
Yo Mama will actually, your Yo Mama will be there in the audience. My favorite part of it was, well, great, now I can't be edgy. You absolutely can, and you should.
If I ever could to begin with.
See, your edgy is not that offensive.
That's the problem. That's what I'm worried about.
Oh, that killed
now,
me.
Before we get there, I have to get through my termites first. Today is the day the tent goes up on our house, so we had to pack up everything last night, put it in these double plastic bags that keep the, I guess, the termite gas out while you're gone for all of the, you know, the perishables and food in your pantry and medicines and stuff. So that was a weekend thing that I did. But hopefully it goes well, and then by Wednesday we have no more termites in our house.
Man, yeah. And then, like, do you have to go and, like, open all your windows? I would. I'd go in and open all my windows.
I'll do whatever they tell me to do. I mean, I've never heard... Has anyone ever heard... We hear bad news stories about everything and everywhere. People dying from stingrays and people... Has anyone ever seen on the news termite gas poisoning family perishes sadly? I've never seen that story ever. I feel like they've gotten this lockdown. Like,
doesn't mean it can't happen though. I mean,
they clear out the house and by the time you get back, you're fine.
It doesn't mean it can't happen. It does not mean it can't happen. But I would just be very careful when you return. But well, I'm glad that your house isn't going to fall down around you.
That would be.
I always wonder
the preference
when they come in and they say you have termite damage. You're like, oh, okay, great. What they do is they don't fix the damage. It just gets rid of the termites.
Right.
So the damage
exists.
Stop
damaging it anymore.
Any further? Do you then have somebody come in and fix said damage?
Well, I think
or no?
I caught it early,
okay,
fortunately.
Good.
I'm glad I caught it early. I was lucky because I felt like the sawdust under the beam at
yeah.
the top of our house. And it was just the first couple days. Like, hadn't noticed this at all. And then all of a sudden it was there. And they said, oh, yeah, no, it's just getting started a little bit, but hopefully we can knock it out.
That's good. Okay.
And we'll be good without having to make any major repairs or anything.
That's excellent. Yeah. Well, yeah, knock it out. It's one of those things. It's kind of like, you know, trust and will. I don't know when we're doing that, but it would have been a really nice lead-in. Nope.
Not this time.
Not this time. It would have been a really nice lead-in. You know, you just want to handle business like that. But other than that, Benny, how was the weekend?
Good.
Yeah, you guys, like, your first weekend.
Yeah, I had a full weekend. You know, I worked Friday at Channel 10, but then got off work Friday afternoon and evening, and then spent Saturday and Sunday at home, played a little golf on Saturday morning, and then, you know, prepared the house, but watched a lot of Padres baseball. Very relaxing. I feel very good here on a Monday morning getting my new week started.
There wasn't much relaxing about the San Diego Padres this weekend, Friday and Saturday, or yesterday, for that matter. We will talk about that. The SDFC game was extremely relaxing. One of the most relaxing soccer matches I have ever watched. Was relaxed basically after about 90 seconds of that game. So looking forward to talking about that. Nothing relaxing about the NCAA Final Four matchups. Holy smokes. I think I had it clocked. I watched the last 2 minutes of each game,
perfect.
And it was all yeah. I needed. I mean, it was just perfect.
I have an admission. I turned off the Duke-Houston game thinking it was over, I found out later that Houston had won. What? Houston won that game? It was like 14 points, and I go, oh, this is over. And I went on and did something else, and I did not watch the end of the game. I feel terrible about it.
You shouldn't feel terrible about it, but it was spectacular.
I
mean, it was really spectacular
that's
ending.
That's what I hear.
That's crazy.
So, and then, by the way, we had some breaking baseball news.
We did.
You may
overnight.
Have not heard about it overnight. So why don't we get to that coming up in our next segment. We'll set the menu for the program as well and tell you what we've got coming up. But obviously there will be a complete recap of the Padres weekend in Chicago. Yes, all good things must come to an end. The 7-game winning streak is over, but Padres got the job done yesterday, what they really had to get. That's the sign, I think, of a team that's going to have a good season. Those are the kind of games you have to win, Woods. The third game of a series to avoid getting swept,
oh, yeah.
minimize the damage, and then you move on and get out of town. And that's exactly what the Padres were able to do yesterday, thanks to a terrific comeback. And we'll get to all of that coming up after Kelly's traffic. It is Ben and Woods on a Monday morning. Glad to have all the Tier 1s with us here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Yeah, but first I wanted to tell you about Underdog Daily Fantasy. Hopefully you guys are having fun if you're on Underdog right now. If you're not, just download the Underdog app and take a swing at making picks on all your favorite players. Obviously, you're going to have plenty of action every day with a bunch of baseball games to choose from. All you got to do, pick higher or lower on player stats, strikeouts, home runs, hits, and more. If you've been riding Luis Arraez, feeling pretty good. He's starting to swing the bat pretty well. So there's a few guys out there that are getting off to really hot starts. And actually, you can look at the guys that aren't off to good starts either. You start with as little as a dollar. If you get everything right, you can win up to 1,000 times your money. Turn a dollar into 1,000 just with your baseball knowledge. So download the Underdog app and sign up now using the promo code WOODS to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash. When you make your first deposit, join in on the fun when you sign up with the promo code WOODS. Claim your special offer today. Get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 and over, 19 and over in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 and over in Colorado for some games, 21 and over in Massachusetts and Arizona. Present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms do apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24-7 HOPE line at 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Well, we talked last week about the team-friendly deal that Jackson Merrill signed, but suddenly this morning, Fernando Tatis Jr.'s deal is looking even more team-friendly. Welcome back. It is Ben and Woods on a Monday morning, and yeah, we had some breaking news late last night. You might have missed it. This happened probably around 9 o'clock, 9:30 our time, but the Toronto Blue Jays and first baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr., are in agreement on a 14-year, $500 million contract Woo-hoo! Extension. That's a $500 million, no deferrals for Vlad Jr. to stay in Toronto for the rest of his career. And that makes
12 years?
14 years.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's see. 500 divided by 14. 35.7 mil a year.
I think it's more than that. Could be wrong.
I just did 500 divided by 14.
And that's 37.
37.
Okay. That would be how you get that number.
That's all usually...
Right. All right.
I'm no math.
All right, so it's the third largest in baseball history. Okay, behind Juan Soto's 15-year, $765 million contract with the Mets, and Shohei Ohtani's 10-year, $700 million deal with the Dodgers. But, of course, Ohtani's has a lot of deferrals. This one does not.
Mostly deferrals.
So the... and I would say that Tatis and Guerrero were the two most compared players coming up. Same age, yeah. Essentially. Some of the same profiles. Both sons of major league players. And Tatis obviously signed his deal, you know, years ago went for 14 years, 330 something million, and then now Vladimir Jr. waits and ends up getting 165 million more than Tatis did, or 160 more than Tatis did, paid off for him. But the Padres end up getting a much team-friendlier deal with Fernando Tatis Jr.
You know, I saw mixed reactions about this deal across baseball. I think if you're the Toronto Blue Jays, you look at it and you say, we had to do this. We had no choice but to do this. We are not attracting the free agents that we wanted to attract necessarily. We want to be
in on everybody.
Yeah, you're in on everyone.
Couldn't land anybody.
You've lost pretty much all of them. And I don't know what this says to, you know, potential free agent. Oh, well, look what they gave Vladdy. If I'm a potential free agent, I look at what they gave Vladdy and went, do they have money to spend on me? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know much about the Blue Jays, Benny, other than they seemingly underachieve every single year with pretty good players. And so I feel like it had to be done to keep that homegrown superstar in your organization. But I think, yeah, I mean, you know, who's to say what's an overpay and what isn't, but it does feel like a lot of money for a first base slash DH potential, you know, in a couple of years for Vladdy Jr. Well, but good for him.
Vladdy said he wanted to stay in Toronto.
Yeah.
So, you know, Toronto tried to sign other players, as you said, in the offseason, weren't really successful. So it was really a no-brainer. They had to get the deal done. And even though Vladdy threatened, of course, to not sign the deal once they got to spring training or whatever it was, of course, when you throw enough money at someone, those deadlines are all fake and you can sign anybody at any point. And we're finding out that, all right, it worked out for both. It's probably a bit of an overpay for the Blue Jays, but they had to do it.
Yeah.
You know, they had to do it. They couldn't lose another star, you know, in a tough division. So they get that deal done. And he stays in Toronto for the rest of his career.
Yep. I think, you know, it probably freaked them out when even a couple of weeks ago he was talking about his impending free agency, saying, no, I'm going to be talking to all teams, including the New York Yankees. I think it's a really good negotiation tactic there to let them know, oh, yeah, no, I'll sign in division. And I think he'd said before he didn't want to sign with the Yankees, but he's like, I'll listen to the Yankees. You know, if they're going to pay me the most money, then that's where I'll go. And
little agent whispering going on there.
100%. Yep. Is he a Boris guy? Do you know?
I'm not sure.
Is he with Manny and those guys?
I don't think so.
I don't know who he's got. But that's a lot of cash, man.
Definitely a lot of cash.
Lots of cash.
That was your breaking baseball news overnight. What we've got coming up for you on the program today, our Padres wrap up is coming up, and it is a victorious Monday, even though there was no guttural scream to start the show because the Padres lost 2-3 to the Cubs. But we get to start by talking about the win. Come from behind 8-7 yesterday, so we'll get all the highlights from Jesse and Tony coming up in our next segment and break down that game. We will also talk about the other big win in San Diego over the weekend, SDFC performance on Saturday night against the Seattle Sounders with an early goal, three goals in the first half, and Chucky Lozano with the first goal of his SDFC career. So we'll talk about that in the 7 o'clock hour, and then we can get into the Padres losses. What went wrong? There were finally some things that went wrong for the Padres over this weekend, even in the game they won yesterday. Far from perfect.
No.
So, you know, now we actually have some stuff to get into with the San Diego Padres. You knew it was coming at some point. Still, 8-2 through the first 10 games of the season is outstanding. Outstanding start to the year.
Good enough for third place.
Good enough for third place in the NL West.
Isn't that great?
There are three teams that all have at least 7-game winning streaks in the NL West through their first 10 games.
Bananas. It's absolutely bananas.
That is unbelievable.
Yep.
Through the first 10 games of the season. And then we'll have our Ben and Woods Linsider, our Padres Linsider, Dennis Lynn, joining us at 8:35 from The Athletic. Get his thoughts on the weekend in Chicago and looking ahead to a series in Sacramento. First ever trip by the Padres to Sacramento to take on The Athletic starting tonight through Wednesday for another series to wrap up this road trip.
Really interested to talk to Jesse Agler tomorrow, find out what exactly that whole scene is like out there in Sacramento.
He'll have a little game under his belt, so he'll have all the dirt for us.
Yeah,
Schilt will do his pre and post game availability from like a tool shed.
Yeah, from the tough shed out in the parking lot. It's going to be. I can't wait. And listen, for the players, there's probably a small part of them that are like, oh, cool, we don't ever get to go here. So it's. you know, we'll see. We'll see how it turns out for him win-loss-wise and all that. But there has got to be something interesting about at least going to play in a new place.
And then we'll have all our regular features. Don't do this. We have a new prize now starting for this rest of the month for Take on Woods. Trip to the MGM Grand in Las Vegas. $150 gift card and concert tickets. We'll tell you. You get your choice, actually, Ooh. On this one. So chance to win coming up at 8:20 today. Rattle report. And then that'll be it for us at 10 o'clock this morning and head off to the rest of our Mondays. But that's the menu for the program today. You ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right, let's get to our Padres wrap up. Highlights coming up next with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
But first.
Now, Woods.
Now.
You wanted to talk about it earlier. Now is your opportunity to tell us all about trustandwill.com and why you can take a big, big stressor off your plate very simply.
Well, we talk a lot about, you know, taking care of business and getting a trust and will is something that you need to do. That's business that you need to attend to. Got to make sure that your all of your things, all of your money is put in the right place when you pass away. Do you know that if you die without a will, your estate doesn't always automatically go to your spouse, kids, or loved ones? A lot of times the state takes over through intestate rules. So not something you want to do. It's not the most fun process of sitting down and having to think about it, but these guys make it really easy at trustandwill.com. They walk you through it. Takes about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and through probate, you can actually lose just $25,000 in just fees for a $500,000 estate. You can avoid all or at least a lot of that by setting up the trust online. Just go to trustandwill.com, answer the simple questions, 20 minutes or so, and then put in the code at checkout, FAN, because you're going to get it 20% off. They're already very reasonable prices, plus free shipping of your estate documents. Do it today. Use the code FAN at checkout by going to trustandwill.com. That's trustandwill.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I was listening to the beginning of yesterday's game, and then I popped it on television a few minutes later, but Jesse and Tony had both mentioned it looks pretty nice. Like, it looked like a nice day in Chicago. The sun was out.
Sun was out, yeah.
They said, don't be fooled. This is the this is the coldest day of the three. And the first two were not fun. It was like 42 degrees. It's not baseball weather, Woods. It's not. I mean,
it's not, man.
It's
football weather.
You know, and credit the Cubs. They fought through it a little bit better over the weekend than the Padres did. But, you know, I'm not here to make some excuses. But after 8 weeks in Arizona and then a week in San Diego, got to be a shock to the system. And, you know, not that the Cubs had done anything differently, but that was definitely, I think, part of the factor, especially for the pitchers and the lack of command. Because it wasn't just Kyle Hart yesterday. We saw it all weekend long. I think Padres pitchers walked 22 batters.
That's tough, man.
That's not Schilt ball at all.
No, it's not Ruben ball either.
But I get the sense that a lack of feeling in the fingers, a lack of grip on the baseball, it gets a lot harder to grip those balls the colder it gets, contributed somewhat heavily to the Padres' pitching woes over the weekend. And the Cubs had some woes and take advantage because they didn't get hits with runners in the scoring position, but they walked plenty too, just didn't happen to get the timely hits that the Cubs were able to get in the first couple of games and the start of yesterday's game. So I think that's kind of where I just wanted to start as we look back at that weekend. It was a very cold, very unusual weekend for baseball in Chicago.
Yeah, it wasn't great, man. The weather was you know, the weather is the weather. It's one of those things. Both teams have to play in it, though, right? And certainly one team is probably a little bit more accustomed. Not this season, though.
No,
that's their first time back.
I think they didn't look any more accustomed than the Padres.
Yeah.
They just took advantage of all of the opportunities that both teams had because of the shoddy pitching and control. The Cubs took a little bit better advantage of it over the three games.
Yeah, and obviously so important to get that game yesterday, the salvage, you know, you don't want to get swept in Chicago. You don't want to get swept by anybody if you can avoid it, obviously. But yeah, man, we had it on in the dugout yesterday, and you're really encouraged. You're like, man, we just took a 3-0 lead. We had to do basically nothing. I mean, I don't want to tell Jake Cronenworth he had to do nothing to get that RBI, because he did wear 94 to the kidneys, essentially, the sound when it hit him. It was, you know, I mean, it's gnarly, but they're walking in runs, and you're feeling pretty good about it. To go right back out and give up, what, 5 in the very next half inning. They said the first inning, Ben, took 46 minutes to get through.
Yeah, I was watching it, and it
walks galore. Just a weird, weird start to the game. I give them so much credit for finding a way to keep the Cubs, after the Cubs scored, what'd they score?
Five.
Five?
Yeah.
To keep them there, essentially, the rest of the game was spectacular.
Well, we will get to all of the highlights with Jesse and Tony after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fam.
I love winning, man. I love winning. You hear what I'm saying? It's like better than losing.
Miss any of the Padres win yesterday? Ben and Woods didn't.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got you covered with all of the highlights.
Oh, yes.
It's the
Padres wrap-up.
Brought to you by Hamul Casino Resort. Things are about to get real with the all-new Hamul Casino Resort. With gorgeous rooms and exciting new eats and drinks. It gets real this summer at Hamul Casino Resort, the player's place.
I want to go fast, but I want to go slow, and I want to go deep.
2-1, hit him! And Cronenworth takes a 94-mile-an-hour fastball right on the hip, it looked like. A painful way to drive in a run, but the Padres will take a 1-0 lead here in the first inning. And Cronenworth down on one knee, using the bat to kind of hold himself up in the left-handed batter's box. 1-0. Bogart swings, chops it over the mound. Brown to his left has it. Jump throw to first, no chance. An infield single for Xander Bogaerts. Arise scores the second run of the inning, and the Padres take a 2-0 lead. Pitch coming, and inside, ball 4. So he hit Cronenworth with the bases loaded. Now he walks Hayward with the bases loaded, and the Padre lead is 3-0. Now he kicks and deals, and a hard hit grounder fair up the right field line. It'll kick off that short wall and get out to Fernando. Hap scores. Suzuki will be held at third as the throw comes into second base. It's an RBI single for Kyle Tucker, and the Cubs are on the board. It's 3-1. Hart comes home. The 0-1 to Turner. Swung on, hit in the air to right field. Fernando over towards the line. On the move, he makes the catch. Gonna fire towards home. Arise cuts it off. Plenty deep to get Suzuki home from third base. A sack fly for Justin Turner. And now a 3-2 game here in the first. 3-2 again to Nico Horner. It's the 10th pitch of the at-bat. Swung on, hit hard on the ground up the middle. Bogaerts dives, has it go off his glove, trickle into center field. Tucker going to come in from second to score the tying run, and it's 3-3 here in the bottom of the first. Manny is trying to get an explanation from Tomlinson as they both walk back towards third base.
Pitcher has been charged with a balk for stopping in the windup.
Stopping. The whole conversation must have been about whether he had told them he was going to go from the windup or not.
There you go.
And thank you to Mark Wegner for taking advantage of technology and using the microphone to let us know that it is a balk to give the Cubs a 4-3 lead. Second and third, 2 outs, bottom of the first inning. 2-2 to Carson Kelly, and Gillespie's pitch slipped out of his hand, goes all the way to the backstop, and I think
a balk
has been called again. Kind of stumbled, started, then just tried to throw the pitch, and it went basically to the Padre on deck area. 5-3 Chicago. 0-2, swung on, hit in the air to deep right field. Fernando going back. He is at the wall, looking up. It's going to go. Kyle Tucker's first Wrigley home run as a Cub is a two-run shot here in the second inning. Manny at first, 2 outs. 1-0 to Merrill. Here's the pitch. And Jackson sends it in the air to straightaway center. It's deep. Crow Armstrong back on the warning track at the wall. This one going to go. Two-run homer, Jackson Merrill. Third of the year, and don't go anywhere. It's now 7-5. Steps back and fires the 2-2 to Turner. Hit on the ground at third. Manny backhands it near the line. Long throw across the body is in time. One away.
Knock it off. 1-3.
7-7 game in the ninth inning. Manny swings, hits it on the ground to the left side. Swanson has it to second one. Horner's turn to first low, and not handled by Turner. Tatis racing home. He will score! Should have been a double play to end the inning. But instead, the Padres lead for the first time since the top of the first. It's 8-7. Now the 2-2. Turner swings and misses. Strike three. On pitch 10, it's Heater, Heater, take a seater. And the Padres come back to beat the Cubs 8-7 on a wild, wacky, windy Sunday at Wrigley Field.
So what we do is what this group does. It's grit squad in effect. We're going to compete regardless of circumstances, and always feel like we're in the ball game, and clearly displayed that today. A lot of heroes today.
Padres come from behind for the 8-7 win. That was a long highlight sequence. We didn't even hear Gavin Sheets's game tying RBI single. Had to edit some stuff out for time. I think we're like 3 minutes in. We're still in the second inning of that game yesterday, but Padres come back and win that one 8-7. And I don't think you heard one good highlight from Logan Gillespie, but they don't win that game without four innings pitched in relief of Kyle Hart, who didn't make it through the first. Even though he gave up the two balks and the two-run homer to Kyle Tucker, still, to get them to the back end of the bullpen was an absolutely critical part of that win yesterday, Woods.
Yeah, credit to the hit, the entire lineup too, for not giving up and going up and working good ABs like Tatis did, like Manny did, like of course Jackson Merrill in a swirling sea of wind, hitting a ball out to dead center field it's just really impressive. And then of course, getting it done when it needed to get done late in the game and being able to salvage a game was just so, so important for this team. And yeah, like you said, man, that's why stacking those wins early felt pretty good, didn't it? Seven straight wins to start the season. You have really what was a terrible three-game series. Terrible. It was a horrible three-game series in Chicago, your win notwithstanding. And you look up and you go, oh, we're still six games above 500. That's pretty good going into Sacramento right now. So just so many different, like Schilte said, so many different heroes yesterday. Luis Arraez with a monster day. Fernando Tatis Jr. playing great. There's still some concerns on this team, but God, he had to have that dub yesterday. You had to.
Very reminiscent of a number of games last year where the Padres came from behind.
Yeah.
It really is. I think it's the bullpen that gives me confidence. My mom texted me. It was 7-3, and she goes, "This has been a wild one so far."
Yeah.
And I said, I actually texted her back, and they were down by four, and I go, "If Gillespie can keep it at seven for just another inning or two,"
yeah.
And I knew the Padres had all of their back end guys rested because none of them pitched in the first two games. I said, I think they'll come back and win this game. I'm pretty sure. As long as they can just get another inning or two out of Gillespie. And he did. So I was like, okay, I'm on the line here. I said they'd come back and win. And they did it just like I thought they would. They got great relief from Morejon. They got Estrada, Adam, and then Suarez, who I think one hit, four and a third inning, seven strikeouts. And they had enough opportunities. They didn't even cash in on all of them. You had Jackson Merrill got thrown out of the plate on the contact play, which is, by the way, still the right play. I know people get so frustrated,
that's
but
hard,
they had to make the perfect so, scoop at first and a really good throw to get him just barely at home.
You're right. We've had a couple of guys thrown out on the contact play this year. Three or four. Is it one of those things in baseball that we just accept is the right play?
I think so.
So here's what always happened. Now, in adult league, yes, go on contact. The chances of them making a perfect throw are about 3 in 10. I'll take my chances with 700, that they're not going to. In the big leagues, it's about 9 out of 10, 8 out of 10.
Depends on who the runner is, but with a speedy guy like Jackson Merrill.
So I've seen Merrill, Tatis,
yeah.
I've seen all these guys get hosed at the dish.
Schilt ball is putting the pressure on the other team to make the play.
It is. I'm not saying you're wrong.
And over the weekend, the Cubs made a lot more plays than either of the Padres' first two opponents did not make those plays. And the Cubs did, which is why they were able to win a couple of those games.
And like KG says, the Cubs aren't a bad team, though. I don't think you do the contact play only against bad teams. You certainly do, but it's not only against them. I hate it. I for one, loathe the contact play. I just don't know what the alternative is. Hey, hit it to the outfield. Give me something in the air in the outfield where I got a much better chance. I know it's easier said than done. It just seems like such an easy out, doesn't it? It's just always, you're like, you got him by 12 feet, what's the alternative, though? It's just one of those things in baseball.
You're standing there, and there's two outs, and then you need a hit.
And then you need a knock.
From the next guy.
Exactly.
Well, the Padres ended up getting one, actually, from the next guy, which is always frustrating. But I still think it's generally the right play to force the defense to make a really good play. And it was a really good scoop and quick throw home. Yep. That was a little high, but in the right place that they got Jackson. And on the replay, they got him by a fraction of an inch there. They got him, but it was very close. And anything goes, a little bit wrong, and the Padres score that play and have a runner on first, and it turns what would have been a ground ball out into a single as well. So you get some big innings that way by just keeping the line going. So I didn't mind the play, even though it didn't work. Padres got a clutch hit from Gavin Sheets and then took advantage, like they did in the first homestand, of a huge mistake. Justin Turner ended up being charged with the error on what should have been an inning-ending double play grounder by Manny, but he just did not catch it. A low ball got past him. You heard the highlight as Fernando Tatis Jr. came around to score what turned out to be the winning run as the Padres salvaged the last game of the three-game series in Chicago.
So I'd like to come up with something this year. If you guys have any ideas in the chat, or you guys either, there's usually someone on the chopping block, and this is not a shot at Padres fans at all. This is how every fan base operates. Every fan base. So I'm looking at the Dodgers right now, who are off to a really good start. The guy on their chopping block is Andy Páez. I mean, the fans are going nuts. He took maybe the worst player in Major League Baseball right now. He's not hitting. He's a horrible fielder. He's a terrible base runner. He provides literally nothing. Every week we have somebody new on the chopping block as far as, like, this guy's got to go, that guy's got to go. And I'd say it's been pretty consistent since the beginning of the season. It's Yuli Gurriel for the San Diego Padres right now, Ben. Right now, as it stands today, Yuli Gurriel is a negative 32 weighted runs created plus. He has a 0% hard hit rate and a 0% barrel rate.
Came through with a clutch pinch single to win a game for the Padres.
A week ago.
And that's all it. He's done this year.
It's not good. It's very small sample size. Yeah, absolutely. 14 plate appearances, nothing, right? 14 plate appearances, a guy can get going. Luis Arraez started his season, 0 for 17, right? But Luis Arraez is now hitting .256 after, a 4-for-4 day yesterday. So Yuli's on kind of the block this, and it's different. This is not some kid looking to make his way that's having trouble. This is a 41-year-old, journeyman first baseman / DH that is not providing really anything to your team when you do have other options that are now have been added to the 40-man roster. He's on the block this week. I would be surprised if he makes the
week. I will caution that fans will always put players on the block long before the team does.
Oh, yeah, big time.
There's usually more patience. I do feel like the Padres aren't going to wait that long.
I'm not just with
Yuli as well, but Hayward looks...
He looks pretty lost.
He looks pretty rough
as
well.
Makes me so sad.
And he's still bringing some decent defense, and, they both have veteran leadership, which may save him for another series or two. But I'd be shocked if the Padres went like a month and a half they have a couple of guys in Oscar Gonzalez who's hitting well, hit well at spring training, hitting well at AAA, Connor Joe, that have experience in the big leagues who they can bring up and play in some of those positions. And I can't imagine they can wait too long before making a decision and moving on.
Yeah, I hope not. I don't want this to be another Matt Carpenter situation.
Right, we'll get back to that. It's a good topic. We'll get back to that. More Padres coming up in our next hour. And SDFC's big win as well. All coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.